Great opportunity. Love talking to Steve. Happy New Year, sir.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well, Tom.
So on the six you have at home, who's the goalie? Do you know yet?
That'd be no doubt. It'd be my oldest 9-year-old.
You know exactly.
Yeah, he's like mini Gronkowski. Kind of a freak of nature. So yeah, he'd be goalie.
Okay, that was a pressing question from the last time you were here. So it has absolutely nothing to do with anything, but it's important to me. So therefore, it's important. So appreciate you joining us here. No surprise, Morgan Scali makes sense. The promotion from within, and that always makes a staff and a program happy when a good guy who's worked hard gets elevated. So, I mean, were you surprised?
You know, I wasn't. I was probably more surprised last year. I thought it'd come last year, but I think Coach Whittingham decided to bring John Pease in and give Morgan a little bit of training and mentorship from a guy who's seen it from different angles and a guy who has NFL experience. And I think it was probably good for Morgan to sit back, a guy who's seen it under Coach Anderson and seen it under, you know, Coach Itake, and then had a year to kind of see how things went with Coach Pease. And I think that was probably necessary for Morgan. One more year of getting a different look, and you know, certainly happy for him. The guy probably we all anticipated what was going to happen, and kind of knew him. I've known him as a player and as a coach, and a guy that's suited for that role and knows the defense really well. And he's a leader and a guy that does it on all phases. Can recruit well as well as anybody.
It is, and I just asked this question without any insight. I'm just asking because you always wonder about chemistry in a locker room when captains are chosen and so forth. Is there any sense that, like, a guy like Sharif Shaw, who's been around a little bit, and, I mean, is there any chance that goes south, or does everybody understand the pecking order based on seniority, and is that sort of the next elevation that happens?
Yeah, I think there is probably some of that. Like anything in corporate world, I think it's no different than the coaching world. But I think you know, just knowing Morgan and his kind of spin on the defense and how well he's been able to, you know, grasp it and identify it. You know, I think Sharif certainly is capable, and you know, probably eventually, you know, could be a defensive coordinator one day. But I think Morgan was a guy that was probably a shoo-in now. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that's earned that and earned that right. And I think as anything else goes, I think, you know, Coach Itake probably gave him a little bit of leverage. You know, I think like I mentioned, it's no different than corporate America.
Sure.
I'm sure Coach Itake probably made that phone call to him, and it was time for Morgan to get promoted. And so I think that helped as well. But, you know, I don't think there's anything like that from Sharif.
Right.
Sharif is as good a guy that you're going to find. And,
sure.
You know, and I might not be in Sharif's interest at this point. You know,
sure.
I know Sharif well. And, you know, for him, you know, he's a great position coach. And, you know, perhaps down the line that might be something that he will aspire to do. But I think he right now he's really comfortable in what he's doing. And he's killing it recruiting and going out and coaching the corners.
That's a great point, and you know, for two reasons. First of all, I mean, you know, the corners are arguably one of the strengths on the team, and you know, he's a key part of that. And I know Morgan will do a great job at bringing him into the circle. Right, he'll be saying it's my job, but you're a part of the defense, and you know, they'll smooth all that out. I'm curious about what your sense is about you know, I mean, this had to happen, but where do you think the offense is evolving in the meeting rooms as they've gone over the season probably by now, or in the process of putting tape together and figuring out self-scouting, figuring out things that they did well consistently in areas that philosophically maybe they can grow. And you know, I love defense, but you know, in this day and age, you look around college football and Gary Patterson's a perfect example. What a bullwhip that was.
Yeah.
A guy who had used to hate offense and used to try to shut you out and would love a 3-0 win. Now, you know, I mean, that was a comeback of all time.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a great example. You know, Gary Patterson has been able to adapt to his surroundings in the Big 12, as we've seen that develop from kind of a smash mouth conference to now more one of the more potent from an offensive production standpoint, one of the conferences you look at, and they're always scoring points. I think Pac-12 is right up there as well, and We are in an offensive world right now. Kind of everything evolves around that. I think ticket sales, you know, just from an economic standpoint, you look at putting people in the seats. I know, you know, I think people want to see high-scoring offenses. They want to see, you know, they always want to go out and see a lot of points scored. And the flashiness comes on the offensive side of the ball. You know, defense, we're boring. We're boring by nature. But you know, that's always been his recipe. And I'll always say that Coach Witt's recipe for success entails playing good defense, good special teams, not turning the ball over, and then scoring in the red zone. So he's always going to have a great defense. He's always going to have great special teams, and sometimes that comes at the offense perhaps at times looking as though it takes a back seat. But I know I can assure you, Coach Whittingham, you know, is aware of that and certainly wants to be more productive offensively. But you know, by his just by his nature, and I'm not sure you're going to see a complete overhaul. You're not going to, you know, I don't think you're going to see an Urban Meyer type offense coming in here. I think you're going to see probably more production, hopefully from certain positions. And I think there's a need to go out and recruit certain positions a little bit harder and get playmakers out there. But you know, you're not going to see, you know, an Art Briles type offense
right
out of Utah anytime soon.
We're with Steve Tate, former Utes star safety, now Utah Football Insider, at Tate28, a great follow on Twitter. We'll get into his Ameriprise financial career in just a few minutes. But, it's funny. It's like a chicken and egg. It's hard to recruit great wideouts when they look and they say, well, you don't throw. You don't really throw the ball downfield. Can I go there and be a star? And yet this kid, Troy Williams, coming in from Santa Monica City, has an opportunity. Again, he's going to have to go through spring and learn the offense and figure it out and impress them. But, you know, maybe an opportunity to change Coach Whittingham's mindset. I understand the turnovers, and that is a key to success. And he's found an area here. You know, the Utes fans love the Utes, and they'll accept Coach Whittingham, I think, as long as they're continuing to win. Yeah. They'll accept that philosophy. So it is kind of difficult for him to go against his own grain that way. But it, you know, maybe the quarterback makes the difference. Maybe the guy who can make all the throws, you go, okay, I'll trust that guy.
Yeah, and I see that. You know, I think I urge fans to tap the brakes a little bit with Troy Williams.
Thank you,
Andrew. You know, I'm out there in the Twitter world, and I see what fans are, and their expectation levels are really high on him. And you know, the guy's done a lot at the JC level, and obviously did a lot in high school and got recruited by Washington. But, you know, tap the brakes and understand kind of what you're dealing with. The guy coming in, you're expecting a lot out of a guy coming in as a JC transfer, and, you know, the expectations for him, he's going to come in here and learn a new system. And, you know, Travis Wilson, although fans at times were maybe not as satisfied with him as would like, you know, you look back you had you benefited from having a guy who'd been in there before and a 4-year starter. So, you know, I always tell fans to really manage their expectations with new blood coming in. It's always fun. You got the new toy. But, you know, I think I heard the same thing from Kendall Thompson.
Right.
I mean, Kendall Thompson was this high recruited transfer from Oklahoma who had 40 some odd offers out of Oklahoma and, you know, wasn't able to come in and get that spark that they needed, or perhaps he just didn't fit the offense that they were looking for, and you know, he may have been a little bit too risky. You know, he was a little bit too risky in that sense, and didn't have the throwing game down. And,
right.
You know, I think what you'll see with whoever's the quarterback next year is hopefully Utah's going to throw the ball a little bit more. You got to test teams deep, and that's something they haven't been able to do. They haven't been able to get that vertical passing game. A lot of that comes with the wide receiver position, but you mentioned it. You know, how do you expect to get those guys in here when they don't have a quarterback to throw to them? But you know, Kalen Clay is no slouch. He's
no.
A guy who, although he was a return specialist, was probably as fast as a guy as there is, and could stretch teams vertically. So you know, I think more than anything, consistency is what Utah needs offensively. Whether it's and they finally got it for two consecutive years with now Roderick coming back, and I think that's something that they need. They need to have a system in place that you know, recruits can come in and be set up for success. If they have something, you know, these rotating chairs in and out as an offensive coordinator, it's hard to get your guys in there and expect them to do well So I think that's probably the single most important thing. They can build and adapt as things go on, but to actually have a system in place is something that is needed, and it's evident now after seeing this past year.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think you may have been alluding to skill guys when you talked about recruiting and getting. You know, it's always, you know, maybe Troy Williams is a guy who can throw it around, but do you have guys you can throw it around too? And then, or maybe you get lucky and you get a couple recruits come in who are stars, but they're not put in a position to produce because maybe the ball can't get there. I mean, there's all kinds of things. So this spring, what I'm hearing is, I mean, that quarterback position, we know that whether you're in Ute football or high school or college or the NFL, that is the position. That dictates so many things you can do. There's trust levels. There's, you know, you can be more adventuresome on defense. There's so many things go to who your quarterback is. So who can you tell us, like, how you see the spring? I mean, I know we're getting way ahead of it, but that's what we do.
Yeah, you know, I think – you know, I'll just go out on a limb. I don't think you'll see Chase Hansen as a quarterback. I don't think you'll see him wearing any single digits anytime soon. I think Chase Hansen has solidified his role on this team, and I think Chase Hansen will remain on the defensive side of the ball. I'd be shocked to see him offensively. I think I would have loved to see it. I think he would have been an outstanding quarterback, but seeing him and his instincts on defense, and if he ever wants to play on Sunday, he's probably going to be on the defensive side of the ball. So I think Chase Hansen's going to stay.
Okay, so he's out. He's out of the running.
Yeah, you know, and then you've got Troy Williams that's going to come in, and he's going to push, push for that starting position. But you know, you're going to have, I think Cox is going to be in the running.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the dark horse in this whole thing. He's a guy that expectations for him when he came weren't probably as high as Manning, although he's transferred now. So I think Cox he's come in and he's got his style, and, you know, look at him and Troy Williams, and they're two very athletic quarterbacks who you can, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit as far as what you can do offensively with those guys. But then, you know, the running back position as well, what are you going to do? I do think it's probably going to be one of those two guys that will probably be, you know, Cox or Troy Williams. And with that being said, you're going to have two guys that are brand new to, I think Cox has been in the system, but two guys that are, you know, somewhat unfamiliar with playing Division One and the Pac-12. So they're going to have, there's going to be some bumps and bruises offensively, but I think you can endure those. And that's part of Coach Witt's philosophy is, you know, you can endure some of that volatility offensively with a great defense,
right,
and special teams that backs you up.
That's a great point. So, you know, you got a quarterback battle, but Joe Williams, you need at least one or two other running backs, and then there's slot guys. I mean, it looks like
McCormick, yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah, Tim's coming back. That'll help. But
yeah, I think that'll help.
That'll help a lot. But I'm just saying, there's competition. There are jobs to be won. And if you're coming in and you're a recruit coming in, you got to look and say, hey, you know, I can play.
Yeah, well, I think that's never more evident as it was this past year with Britton Covey,
yep.
A guy who wasn't, you know, probably the highest recruited guy on the field, but he came in and noticed a good opportunity right away, and I think it's there. And so, you know, I think as soon as you get some of those guys in, and you know, you're going to have plenty of opportunity. But I mean, another position and a guy that they've got to fill. Covey was, if you looked at an offensive production, he was the leading receiver of this football team. Between him and Devontae Booker, they incorporated more than probably 75% of that offense. And then you have Travis Wilson, who's probably that additional 25%. So you're looking at realistically replacing almost 100% of what your offense was last year. That's an extraordinary amount to just replace, in 1 year. The good news is, you know, I think more than anything is getting some beef up front, and they're getting some, they got the number one junior college recruit in the country that from Snow College, who's going to provide some depth at the line position. But yeah, it's going to be a tremendous task. Although, you know, like I said, I think that's where, you know, Coach Whittingham, when you're able to probably win two of the three phases consistently, you can have some of those bumps and bruises, but there will be some growing pains next year offensively.
Yeah, that's a great point. And but that's a great primer for Ute fans to, you know, we're a ways away from spring, but it'll be here before we know it. And there's going to be a lot of stories coming out of there, and An exciting time, clearly. And I think congratulations to Morgan Scalley. Opportunity knocking for him, and look forward to that. All right. So right before Christmas, I guess after Christmas, right before the new year, the Fed raised rates. So how does that affect your job and your ability to deliver with Ameriprise Financial? I'm sure you guys have already worked, or you have workarounds for that kind of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, we do. You know, that's probably a topic of conversations we have with our clients quite often. And it's something that we've been anticipating was what the Fed was going to do with the rates, and they finally raised them, although a minimal amount. Mm-hmm. But it shows a little bit of where the economy is going. Obviously, they wouldn't do that if the economy wasn't growing and on the up. So, you know, it's good news, but it's also more important than more than ever than to get some of that money to work. You know, I don't think you'll see the savings rate at the banks increase all that much in the short term. Perhaps, you know, over the next few years, you'll finally start earning something on your money that's at the bank. But, you know, that's really, really, you know, a phase that we take into account when we meet with our clients is what are we doing with your short-term money? You know, perhaps you have your 6 months worth of your immediate needs, and then after that, you got to put some of that money to work. And so we kind of tailor our financial plan, and we go over all kinds of those things and market outlooks and make sure that we are on track with those. And we rebalance our clients' portfolios on a regular basis. And, you know, one of the important things we've talked about over time is just putting money away for retirement and sticking to that and making sure that you rebalance those whether it's your 401k or your SEP, and on a quarterly basis at least, if not more on a month-to-month basis, to make sure that you're staying up with the current market conditions. So love to help out more clients. It's been great. We've had a lot of listeners come in and hear us on the radio, so we'd love to get more of those listeners into the office. So give us a call. It's 801-252-4826.
801-252-4826 for Steve Tate and Ameriprise Financial. Early in the year, but it's a great way to get started on those crucial things, 401k and retirement and college, all those kinds of things that are challenges for all of us parents, and you know that well. Thank you so much, Steve Tate. Great stuff. Look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, Tom. Always fun. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Steve Tate, our Utah Football Insider here at ESPN 700, at Tate28 on Twitter. Ameriprise Financial Wizard. Give him a call, 801-252-4826. If you engage him financially, I'm sure you'll be able to pick Tate's brain a little bit about the Utes' future like we just did. So, but, you know, work with him. I think he'll be satisfied. You'll be happy.